The ink from Paul's pen hasn't even dried on the word husband when he writes the second word, a strong word, love. Agapate. Agapate. Second person plural present active imperative, if that helps. It's a command, in other words. And the word agape love, you remember, that's that full orb love, that extraordinary, far-reaching love.
Our culture has in large lost part of its bearings about the role of men and women in marriage and society. This is a dangerous trend. How husbands can be a storm shelter for their family. That's our topic on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. Now, for one of the last times, here is an amazing resource package.
Christians are dying for their faith in countries that are hostile to the gospel. Those of us still living in free nations need to be fully informed. Author Tom Doyle's book, Killing Christians, is part of the Connection resource package this month only. Killing Christians takes readers to the secret meetings, the torture rooms, the grim prisons, and even the executions of Muslims who have turned to Christ in Syria, Iran, Lebanon, and Egypt. The stories are breathtaking, the lessons, soul-stirring, and inspiring. You'll receive the book Killing Christians, along with a personal update from Skip Heitzig about his recent trip to Iraq, Lebanon, and Jordan.
And caught in the crossfire of their radical agenda are innocent lives, women, children, families displaced. We're talking millions of people. It's heart-wrenching, and you can only see so much of that before you think, we need to do something in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's what we were doing.
Skip will take you into meetings with believers who risked their lives for the faith, and will let you meet the children in Iraqi refugee camps that are just over a hill from enemy forces. Receive Skip's private briefing, only available here, along with Tom Doyle's book, Killing Christians. And as a special bonus, a full-length message about the resurrection from Skip. You will also receive an update from Dr. Stephen Collins about his controversial project in Jordan to discover the real site for Sodom. All this for a suggested donation of $30. Call toll-free 1-800-922-1888 or order at connectiononline.org.
Act now. Call 1-800-922-1888. Now, here's Skip from the series Keep Calm and Marry On.
Let me tell you a story about a pastor that I know of who was speaking in Chicago at Moody Bible Institute. He must have been speaking about marriage. He was a guest speaker. And while he was back there, somebody from there handed him a letter, a gal, and said, "Dear Pastor, I've never really struggled with my future. I've left my future into the hands of God. I really want to be married, but I believe that the Lord has all of that in His control. But," she wrote in her note, "every night I kneel down at the foot of my bed after I've hung a pair of men's pants at the foot of the bed." And she said, "I pray this prayer. Father in heaven, hear my prayer and grant it if you can. I've hung a pair of trousers here. Please fill them with a man." That's a great prayer. He loved that so much that when he, the following week, got back to his own congregation, he wanted to share that with them, even though it didn't really fit with his sermon. He did it anyway. And his congregation loved it. They laughed. They thought it was such a great note. But he noticed that there was a family toward the front of the auditorium where he was speaking in his church. And it was a man, a father, with his oldest son. His wife, however, wasn't with him. She was at home attending to a sick daughter. And he noticed when he told the story that I just told you and the congregation laughed that the father loved it and he laughed, but the oldest son, the teenage son, just was as serious as all get out, eyes fixed on what he was hearing, but no humorous reaction at all. A few weeks later, the same pastor got a note from that oldest boy's mother, who wasn't at the service, the wife of that man, and the letter said, "Dear Pastor," she said, "should I be worrying? Every night when my son goes to bed, he hangs a bikini at the foot of the bed." You know, I don't know what you expected when you got married, what role you expected your spouse to fill in that marriage. But I will tell you this, that there are enough storms that come into relationships and marriage that a pair of pants or a bikini just won't cut it. It takes deep commitment. It was Benjamin Franklin who gave this wise advice: keep your eyes wide open before marriage and half shut afterwards. Let's look in Ephesians 5 and open our eyes to the roles of the husband and wife once again. And this week we want to look at the role of the husband. And it's simply put, before we even get to it, it says, husbands, love your wives. Typically, when people get married, that love is there, it's strong, it's uncompromising, but there is a tendency for, over time, that love to wane. Let me give you a fun illustration. Years ago in the Saturday Evening Post, they ran a little article called The Seven Ages of the Married Cold. That is 7 years worth of a husband responding to his wife when she gets a cold. The first year of their marriage, he says, "Sugar, I'm really worried about my little baby girl. You've got a bad sniffle. I want to put you in the hospital for a complete checkup. I know the food is lousy, but I've arranged for your meals to be sent up from Rosini's. It's all arranged." But the second year, he says, "Listen, honey, I don't like the sound of that cough. I've called Dr. Miller, and he's going to rush right over. Now, will you go to bed and just rest for me there, please?" Third year, "Maybe you better lie down, honey. Nothing like a little rest if you're feeling bad. I'll bring you something to eat. Got any soup in the house?" Fourth year, "Look, dear, be sensible. After you've fed the kids and washed the dishes, you better hit the sack." Fifth year, "Why don't you take a couple aspirin?" Sixth year, "If you just gargle or something instead of sitting around barking like a seal." Can you tell it's getting worse? Seventh year, "For heaven's sake, stop sneezing. What are you trying to do, give me pneumonia?" Now that's funny, but all humor aside, here's the principle, and here's what I want you to walk away with, self included. Any relationship left untended will deteriorate over time and become less satisfying. Any relationship left untended will deteriorate over time and become less satisfying. I've always believed that every person on earth is incompatible with every other person on earth. Just give it time, they'll discover that. And the question then comes when you discover, what do you do now? Robert Anderson writes, "In any marriage more than a week old, there are grounds for divorce. The trick is to find and continue to find grounds for marriage." It's my prayer that that will happen in this series. It has been our prayer of our team all along that good marriages would be made better and marriages that are on shaky ground, a spark would be put inside of those relationships to make them not only survive but thrive. Today we begin in verse 25 and look at a husband's love for his wife. It's the husband's role. Verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." There's three things that I want to look at based upon what we just read. What is the meaning of a husband's love? Second, what is the manner of a husband's love? What is it to look like? When it says love your wives, like what? Like how? And then finally, the mission of a husband's love. What is the goal and purpose? Now, as we consider what it means for a man to love his wife, there's just something obvious, again, I want you to look at like we did last time. You will notice that more written real estate is given to husbands than to wives. Only three verses he writes to wives. Verse 22, 23, and 24. But three times that amount are devoted to husbands. Verse 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33. Nine verses. As I said last week, you can draw your own conclusions as to why that is. It's my belief that it's because the real key rests with the husband. I will explain what I mean by that. The meaning of a husband's love. Well, let's begin by the meaning of a husband. Did you know that the original term husband means one who works the soil, a tiller of the ground? You may remember John 15, where Jesus said, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Or the NIV says, gardener. But the old King James Version says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. He's the one who works the ground. He's the tiller, cultivator of the soil. I checked with Webster on the definition of a husband. First definition is a married man. Duh. But here's the second definition, getting back to the original meaning. A prudent or frugal manager. Ah, now that's suggestive. You see, a husband is one who cultivates the marriage relationship. He's the one who wisely manages the home. Men are to be initiators. And can I just speak, men, on behalf of women? They want that. They want you to be the spiritual leader to initiate in the relationship. And I will tell you again, these roles, though simply stated, are not easy. This is tough. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, it's harder to lead a family than it is to rule a nation. Every now and then, I'll hear people say, we need more Christian leaders in politics. Yeah, I believe that, but can I just say, I think we need way more Christian leaders in families. That's where it begins, in families. So husbands, cultivators, farmers of relationships, love. The ink from Paul's pen hasn't even dried on the word husband when he writes the second word, a strong word, love. Agapate. Agapate. Second person plural present active imperative, if that helps. It's a command, in other words. And the word agape love, you remember, that's that full-orbed love, that extraordinary, far-reaching love. So the husband is the head of the home, but according to this, he's to provide a heart for the home, his love. Now, let me mess with your mind a little bit. Not because I want to, because I don't know if you notice this or not in the text, but you'll never find once where the text says for wives to love their husbands. Now, it helps if they do. It's good if they do. But what I do want you to notice is a husband is commanded. It is in the imperative. Eugene Peterson, in his translation, The Message, translates it, husbands, go all out in your love for your wives. That's a great picture for your mind. Go all out in your love for your wives. It doesn't say, husbands, rule over your wives. Husbands, subjugate and conquer your wives. But go all out. Be lavish in your love for your wives. In other words, his authority is to be mixed with his affection. And a wife responds to her husband's love. You know what happens if you take a piece of iron and rub it against a magnet, what happens to the iron? It becomes magnetized. I think relationships are like that. I think that love in a marriage relationship is more caught than it is taught. And that one burning heart ignites another burning heart. A husband's love causes a wife to respond to that. So husbands, heads, cultivators, gardeners, love lavishly your wives. Look, if you have a husband who's a leader but not a lover, you have a tyrant. If you have a husband who's a lover but not a leader, he's a sentimental sap. You combine somebody who leads but who does it lovingly as a servant leader, as a tender warrior, you've got a man. That's a husband. Have you noticed that valuable things take time? And the more valuable they are, the more time they take to manage, to cultivate, to maintain. My grandparents were farmers. They managed a farm in very harsh climate in Laramie County, Wyoming. It was during the homestead days when you could take a piece of property and claim it as your own and work the land. So I have pictures of my grandpa butchering the hogs and working the land. When grandpa died, my father moved my grandmother out to California and put her in a nice little house, but it had like a half acre, maybe an acre attached to it. She planted a garden in it and put apple trees in it. And when I think back to visiting grandma, I remember finding her in one of two places. Sometimes the kitchen, but rarely. Usually she was outside in that garden. And usually when I came over, I saw grandma in the garden with a gun. Isn't that a great picture? My grandma. Usually a BB gun. She was shooting the birds that would come in to take the apples. She loved doing that. So I come around the fence, Grandma? Yes, dear. So that's how I remember my grandma. She was outside in the yard working with the apples, tending the garden, or in the kitchen making the best apple pies in the state of California. And I mean, she provided the fruit from her garden that she so tended and worked and brought it into the kitchen and made everything from scratch and gave that to us, her family. All of the time in the garden, all of the time in the kitchen, and 50 years later, her grandson is bragging about her. Now, husbands, let's think of our roles like that. Tending a garden to bring forth fruit. Tending a garden, because let's be honest, marriage is the most challenging relationship on the planet. And so God gives the pattern. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. That's the pattern. If something goes wrong in the relationship, it's not because there's a problem with the pattern. It's because somewhere along the line in the process, we got tired and we've left the garden untended. So that's the meaning of a husband's love. The cultivator with an extraordinary all-out love for his wife. Let's look at the second, the manner of a husband's love. Now, I want you to notice something, because it'll all be based on this. There are two analogies in the text that Paul uses to describe love, and both of the analogies begin with the word as. Whenever you want to make a comparison, you use words such as like or as. This is like that. This is as that. And there's two of them. Can you find them? The first is in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as, that's the first comparison, Christ loved the church. Now, you know why he does this. If Paul would have just said this, husbands, love your wives, period. What would we do, men? We would read that and we'd say, I do love my wife. I told her so 20 years ago. I'm a man of my word. But when he says, no, love your wives like Jesus loves us, then it gives us pause. We go, oh, that's a standard I can't attain. So he gives us a standard also we can attain. In both of these, he's going to demonstrate what he means. He lowers it down and says, okay, love your wives as you love yourself, your own bodies. So with those two analogies in mind, let me make four statements that describe a husband's love. A husband's love is to be sacrificial. That's what it means, sacrificial. Love your wives, verse 25, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. It was extraordinary love that motivated Jesus Christ to step out of heaven, come to the earth, take upon a form of the flesh, and die on a cross and give us everlasting life. Love motivated him to do that. It was sacrificial love. And while he was here on earth, he was rejected, spat on, mocked, yelled at. Some of you are thinking, sounds like a typical day in my home. I hope not. The key idea here is sacrifice. He gave himself. Sacrifice. Men, do you sacrifice for your wives? If I love like Christ loved the church, I'm willing to give something up for my wife.
That's a great look into the love of a husband for his wife. Now, let's go into the studio with Skip and Brian as they share some further thoughts on the love of a husband.
We looked at the storm-proof shelter of a husband's love. That's a great title. When you were developing this, what were you thinking just coming up with that title?
Well, I do love words that express thoughts, and I loved succinct words that express thoughts. And I just thought, as I was reading through the scripture, what kind of love is a husband to be able to provide? And I just thought back to the times in my relationship with Linnea, where I was either making her feel secure or unsettled. And the times that I was making her secure, when she knew that she was secure in my love for her, she felt the safest. So I just thought of that whole thing of feeling safe and then being a shelter, and God is a shelter, and his love is like that. And that's really our model. And so, you know, I just sort of put those thoughts together and came up with a storm-proof shelter. We're all going to go through storms. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love, like, I just bought this little covering when I went to the Middle East, one little jacket. And I kind of needed it to meet specifications. It had to be able to keep me warm. So it had to have a little bit of fleece or goose down in it. It had to have a hood. It had to be rainproof up to a point. And so I knew storms were coming, and I knew temperatures would vary, but I just needed something that would be able to make it through. Mm. And so we're going to have storms in our relationship, but it has to, your relationship has to be sort of rated, you know what I mean? It has to have a certain insulation factor to it so that it can go through the cold and the hot and the storms, the rain, because they're coming.
Yeah.
And you have to build the foundation early and aggressively, and get to a point where you feel pretty solid, because, you know, storms are going to keep coming till you get to heaven. Mm. So the idea of having a relationship that is storm-proof, that no matter what comes our way, we're never going to entertain the D word, the divorce word.
Right.
We will not divorce. We will work our way through this, and we will get stronger. And we may get beat up a bit, but we're together in this.
Yeah, it's a marvelous, but it's a marvelous title, but it's also very realistic. And speaking of that, Skip, what are some of the benefits of showing this kind of storm-proof shelter or this sacrificial love to his wife? What can we expect to come from this?
Well, I believe that a husband's love should be a love of initiation, that the man should initiate in a relationship, should not be the passive one and let his wife ask him out on their first date and ask him to get married. I believe in the old-fashioned, I think it's biblical, that God called men to lead, lovingly lead, gently serve, but definitely lead. And what does leadership mean? It means that you take the responsibility, the rap. If you make a dumb decision, it's on you. You know, I mean, yeah, you make it with your wife, but somebody, it's like a leader of a company or a corporation or a church. The buck stops with somebody. Somebody's responsible. And I think that a husband should be an initiator, and I think a wife should be a responder. God made man first. And Paul brings this out clearly in the New Testament, that man was created first, and he created him with the idea that he was going to be able to lead this relationship. And a wife does best and feels best when she is made to be secure in her husband's love.
I love that. Initiation and response. Great insight. Thank you so much, Pastor Skip.
Would today's message help a friend or family member? Call us at 1-800-922-1888 to order the teaching, The Stormproof Shelter of a Husband's Love, on CD for just $6. Tomorrow, more for husbands that we all can learn from.
Your attitude and your actions toward that woman that you have a covenant relationship before God with is to be the cultivator, the husbandman, the farmer, the tiller of the soil. I believe that is key.
And remember, keep calm and marry on.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.